Hi there, this is Jacob Msiba, the Senior Pastor of Builders Church. I just want to thank you for taking time to listen to our podcast today, and I trust that it will bless and build your spirit. Enjoy the message, and God bless you.
It's so good to be back home. I said it's so good to be back home. Glory to God. We're so thankful for what God has done and what He's going to do. You know, there's not a time that we come here that we don't encourage you concerning prayer, because that's our mantle. You have to know what you carry. Look at somebody and say, you got to know what you carry. God wants to hear from every one of us. Pastor Tom, don't you sit down. You come right on up here, bro. In the name, y'all give Pastor Tom a hand. Come on, for real, y'all. I said, give my man a hand. I thank God for my husband. Now, see, I was under orders. He made me sing, right? And so he gonna help me preach. Amen. Y'all don't even understand, but it's all right. Amen. This is 45 years this September. That's how long we've been married, y'all. Y'all need to give God some praise up in her. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's a blessing. I say 45 years, 5 sons later. We got 5 boys, y'all. From the age of 39 down to 24. And it was our 24-year-old who wrote that song. And now, y'all, since we saw you guys, we now have 9 grandchildren. Just within the last few months, this is family, so I'm just taking a quick little moment. In the last few months, December 28th, we had another granddaughter, y'all. We have 7 granddaughters and 2 grandsons. And so on December 28th, our third son, Raphael, and his wife, Gabrielle, had their beautiful little baby on that particular day. And then 20 days later, our son, Brentum, he and his wife had their baby. And I choke up a little bit because we give God glory for a little Ayla right now. Glory to God. Last year, this time, we were here. And they lost. They had a stillborn. But y'all, God is so good, because even before the anniversary of where we lost Lana, they had on January the 18th, they had little Ayla. Come on and give God praise. God will restore the joy of your salvation. I remember, Pastor, when that happened, again, we were here. And I felt I gotta get home, because her parents were there to be with her. But our son, Brentum, he had his brothers and all of that. But anybody that have children and you're close to them, you want to just be there, if it's just to hold your children or whatever the case might be. See, sometimes people don't understand the price of ministry. There's many times a price for the things that we do. Our children, you know, the pastor's son and daughter, we honor them and we bless them and try not to give them a hard time, because, you know, in the past you can read about pastor's children and the things that they go through. I just went right there in Jesus' name. But yeah, I was here and I was doing everything within my power to get home. It just did not work. But we didn't hold back in doing the work of the Lord. Are y'all hearing me in the house? We still came and we gave with everything within us. Will you give God some praise for restoration?
Hallelujah. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to understand the responsibility that God has given us to serve Him and to work to establish His kingdom. When Brenda was saying that, the scripture just jumped in my spirit when Jesus' disciples came to Him and said, "Your mother and your father,
your brother,
and your brother are outside and they want to see you." And Jesus was in the middle of ministering, and what He said, "Who is my mother, my father, my brother? Those that do the work and the will of my father, those are my mother and my brother." And it might seem like we're insensitive not to care about what's going on, but when you're in the will of God, God says, "If you take care of my business, I will take care of your business." The main priority is that we do the will of the Father. In our flesh, in our naturalness, we want to do what seems to be right in the natural. But God always has another plan. In His sacrifice, He said, "I will owe you nothing. You work, I see your labor of love. And as you work for me, I will repay." And little Ayla is just a repayment and a reminder of God saying, no matter what happens in your life, I have a better plan, and I have another plan for you. Just continue, stay focused on what I've told you to do. Because in the end, ultimately, it's all about His will. Yeah. Whether we live, whether we die, it's all about His will. And all we want to do is His will.
That's it.
While we are here, it's all about what's important to Him.
And this is the last thing that we're going to say, and this is not to be a sad thing at all. When I call Brentum, his name is, like, I'm Brenda, he's Tommy, Brentum. That's his name. That's our fourth son. And I called him and expressed to him, my husband and I did, how much we wanted to be here. And Brentum has been here before. All five of our sons have been on this land. Will y'all give God some praise? It hadn't just been Pastor Tommy and myself. All five of our sons. The one that wrote the song has been here at least three times on this soil. And Brentum said, "Mom, I know you want to be here." He said, "But you continue with the work of the Lord. When you bring your children up properly and help them to respect God and all of that, they understand for real." Somebody say for real. It wasn't fake when he said, "Y'all go on, Mom. We're going to be all right." Mm-hmm. And then, of course, when we got back, they were all right. And we helped them, you know, through what they went through. But we're just so thankful that we can give you a praise report that they got a little girl. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, Builders Church, we are wanting to let you know that we are so thankful that we are here today, and that we love that name, Builders Church. God has been dealing with Pastor Tommy and I, started from the end of last year up until here, that we must build. I'll give you the scripture, Ezekiel 22:30.
I look for somebody.
It says very clearly, I looked. Let me read it so that you can be clear. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought a man among them, mankind, woman, man, it doesn't matter, who should build, everybody shout build. Build up the wall and stand in the gap before me. You're standing in the gap before God for the land, that I should not destroy it. And the commentary at that time was, he did not find people who would stand before him and pray, stand in the gap. Everybody do this, build up the wall. Come on, put that hand way up there. It is time like never before to build up the walls of prayer. Come on, come on, come on, make it real high. Why do we have our hand up that high, Pastor Tommy? Because when we say we need the walls to be built, they need to be higher than where we are, higher than our business, higher than our church, so that the enemy won't keep coming in and taking and ravishing our communities, coming against our homes, our marriage. So we gotta build the wall of prayer. So God said, I'm looking for you. Somebody said, God is looking for me.
God is looking for
me. He said, I was seeking. He didn't, let me tell you something. When you seek something, you don't just kind of look around and whatever. How many of you have ever had to seek after your keys for your car? Or even if you don't have a car, you're seeking something that you lost. You don't just kind of look at stuff. No, you start moving stuff. Are y'all in the house? It's time to start moving things in the spirit realm. God said, I sought for somebody. I'm looking for people that will build up. Somebody said that will build up a wall of prayer. But at that time, he didn't find anybody. But I know, because of the man and woman of God in this house, that this is a house of prayer. You don't sound like it right now, but that's all right. Put your hands on yourself and say, I am a house that prays. Keep your hand on yourself. But the Lord said very clearly, my house shall be called what? Scream it out, everybody. One more time. He said, my house, the ones that belong to me. Keep your hand on yourself. Do you know that you and I house God? Come on in here. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the one that houses God. He said, my house shall be called a house that prays, which says to me, it's not just a few people in this church that pray. When a prayer meeting is called, it shouldn't be 5, 10, 25 people. Many of you have said, that's not my ministry. Somebody said, a devil is a liar. And he is. The enemy has caused the body of Christ to literally leave their spot that they're supposed to be in. But Jesus is still in his spot. Yeah. Oh, y'all don't hear me up in here. He said, I ever live to intercede for you. And you need to say, since Jesus is in place, I must get in place. I'm a house that prays, and I'm gonna pray like I've never prayed before. I wish you clap your hand and give God glory.
Hallelujah. You know, it's so important to God. We saw the example of Jesus as he walked this earth, that he always prayed before he did any major miracle. That's before he appointed disciples anything, he always went to the Father. And it was so important for him that even on the cross, the last thing he did on this earth was he prayed to the Father. And then when he ascended into heaven, the Bible says he sits on the right hand to make intercession for the saints, for us. And we think that that's all that he's supposed to do. But the Bible says that we have been raised up,
yes,
in heavenly places with him. So why do you think you're there with him? You're in two realms, your spirit and your body. Your spirit man is in heavenly places with him because you do warfare in the spirit. And unless you see yourself as a spirit being, God is spirit, right?
Yes.
And they must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you don't understand that you are a physical being on this earth, but you are a spirit that houses God, your body houses God's spirit. So you have to communicate with God on a spiritual level. So you have to pray in the spirit. Why do you think you pray in the spirit? Because the Bible says we don't know what to pray for as we ought to in our naturalness. We pray those lemme, gimme, lemme, help prayers. And Jesus said, why do you pray about what you need, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep, what you're going to drive? He said, your Father in heaven already knows you need those things. So why are you praying those type of prayers? He says, pray that thy will be done and his kingdom be established on earth as it is in heaven. God knows everything that we need, and he wants us to know what our assignment is here on this earth. He said the heavens are his, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. But we get so engrossed with the world, that's why he says, be not lovers of this world. Don't let the world consume you. Be not transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He laid down everything. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. What was the joy? You were the joy. I was the joy. We are the joy. So it should be our obligation. He says, present your body a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of service. He made an ultimate sacrifice. He's just asking you to make a temporary sacrifice. He's not asking you to die. He's asking you just to do the will of his Father while you are here on this earth.
You know, the last time that we were here, we were so grateful to be here, and you guys had, as a whole church, although you were here, and then we have there in Benoni, the other part and everything, we know that God, it was doing great and mighty things, opening up doors that no man could shut. Can you say amen? And see, after you all had finished that particular, I know you prayed for it, in Jesus' name, for possession of land. Somebody say possession of land. And when usually, when we have accomplished something, this is what we do. Whew. We just kind of give out a breath. And as a result of just kind of letting your arms down, letting your guard down, not praying as much as you really do, then you miss out. You miss out on the, everybody say, fullness. God is saying to this church, I only just started. But look at somebody and say, God is not through. I said, look at somebody and say, God is not through. Concerning Builders Church, say there is so much more for this church. Look at them and say, for you, for you, for your family, for your business. If you believe it, give God a holler in this. Come on and give God praise up in here. You know, some of you guys know Michael Todd, our second son. And when God gave us the arena, I mean, it holds about 4,000 people, y'all. And after he gave him the arena, like God gave the land to this ministry. God, every time he would turn into the area of the complex where we were, our complex was way on the backside of the property. God would tell Michael, keep your foot on the gas. Everybody act like you mashing right there. Come on, get your leg ready. Like, even if you've never driven a car before, act like it. Come on. You bought those little cars for your children and you see how they have to. Come on. Say, keep your foot to the metal. Because God is not through. Somebody need to clap your hands right there.
One of the things, Brenda, to give you an example, the only reason you keep your foot on the accelerator.
That's good. Ooh, wee.
Is so that you can go forward. Now, you don't use your left foot unless you want to stop. You use your right foot because you want to continue moving forward. And the more you accelerate, the quicker you're going to get to your destination. And God says if you slow down and you're satisfied with where you are right now, it's going to take you longer to complete what he's given you to do. So he's saying, keep your foot on the accelerator. Stay focused on the plan and the destiny that I have given this church. And not only this church, but this church is just a microcosm of everybody that's in there. You are a microcosm. Yes. The church is a microcosm of the kingdom. You are a microcosm of the church. What God does in this church, he wants to do for you. He wants to give you land. He wants to give you a business. When we drive here, there's more than enough land for everybody to have a piece of land around this place. So all you have to do is say, God, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you. I'll use it for your glory. The Bible says many of our prayers don't get answered because we pray amiss. That means when you pray, you're praying for your own selfish motives, for what you want. But again, we want his will. And he said, if you delight yourself, if you seek me first, all these other things will be added to you. He'll give you the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in doing his will.
Now, here is a scripture we want you to pay attention to. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Listen to what it says. You're familiar with it, but I want you to hear it. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their what?
Strength.
Shout it out.
Strength.
They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So it starts off by saying they that wait. And see, most of you think you're just waiting. Have you ever been to a restaurant before? And they send you the waiter. And when they send you the waiter, if the waiter, after you give the order, just stand there, you'll look back at that waiter and say, why are you not putting in my order? Oh, y'all playing up in here. Y'all playing up in here. You're playing up in. Look at somebody and say, when was the last time?
When was the last time?
You put in an order. Oh, y'all playing in the house. God said, this is the time. Say, this is the time.
This is the season.
That God
wants me
to put my order in.
Put my order in.
Come on and give God praise. What are you talking about? They that wait upon the Lord, those that have relationship with God, those that stretch out in prayer, those that tell God what you want, not based on what you see with your natural eyes. Where are the people that have a dream? Where are the people that have a vision? Oh, y'all hear me in the house. Those that wait on the Lord. And God is saying, I want to build this church, but I need some folk that understand that they are my building and that they are to build their houses, their families, their, come on here, their businesses, their sons, their daughters. You are to build up the wall of prayer. Somebody say, build up the wall of prayer.
Build up the wall of prayer.
Say it again.
Build up the wall of prayer.
And I tell you, it's work. I'm going to give one more scripture, Tommy, and then you can take it from there. Somebody say it's work.
It's work.
Say it again.
It's work.
But you got to understand who you're working with. And who you are praying to. They that wait upon the Lord. Your strength is about to be renewed. No longer are you going to drop your hands and say, okay, we accomplished this and this is enough. God said, I got so much more. Look at three people and say, God has so much more for you. Talk to them.
God has so much more for you.
Put your hands on them if they're not looking at you. God has so much more for you. Somebody say it may take a little work. Here it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, my God, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Everybody lift those hands up. Come on. Prayer. Intercession. Is work. I'm not going to lie to you. Intercession is a thankless. In man's eye. You don't get a pat on the back. If you want a pat on the back, pat yourself on your back. Nobody sees. It's all right. Okay, Pastor. You can hold on to that. Nobody sees when you're up at night. Nobody sees when you're there early in the morning. I'm talking about praying to God. Are y'all in the house? But oh, God is telling this church, I have so much more for you, but I need some intercessors. He said in Ezekiel 22:30, I look for somebody that would stand in the gap, that would build a wall, that would pray, but I didn't find anybody. But is there in this house a group of people that will put your foot on the gas and begin to pray like never before? Clap your hands in this Holy Ghost house. Everybody say, Jesus. He's still doing what he's always been doing. He stood in the gap for you and me. Come on, y'all. Somebody say he died for me. And even now, he's at the right hand of the Father. How many of you know he's at the right hand of the Father? What is he doing? Somebody say interceding. Say praying. The Bible talks about how Jesus himself stretched out in prayer. Everybody, don't hit anybody, but just stretch out like this. See, because some of us, we see our sons and daughters all caught up in all kind of stuff. our relationships with our husband and wife, our wife and our husband, is not where it should be. The place that God has in mind for this ministry, it's not there. He's done something, but he's not through yet. The Bible said he cried, he moaned, he groaned, he went for it in Jesus' name. Are your sons and daughters worth you stretching out in prayer? For the next couple of minutes, I want you to put your hands forward like you're stretching out. And I want you to get several Hallelujah. Things in mind. Your Thank business, you, your sons, your daughters, your business, your marriage. Let's go. 1, 2, 3. Rakatanda.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Lift y'all's voices in here. Jesus stretched out. Let the body of Christ stretch out in prayer. Is your son worth it? Lift your voices. He offered up strong cries. He offered up strong cries. He stretched out in prayer. Open your mouth up. Devil, you gonna let her go. You gonna lose my sons. You gonna lose my daughters. Get off of my grandbabies. Get out of this house, off of my marriage. No more abuse. Come on, y'all. This is the way a praying church sounds, but I need y'all to stretch out even more. We don't know how to pray as we ought to, but ask the Holy Ghost to help you to pray. We're building a house of prayer in the name of Jesus. You don't just pray when you're here at church. Oh, but we are stretching out on this Sunday morning. God, I pray, hey, that the powers of hell would be broken. Every generation of curse. One more minute, stretch out. He will hear your cry. Blind Bartimaeus stretched out. Come on here. He prayed. Yes, he did, because he wanted to be healed. Do you want to be healed? Build a wall of prayer. Build a wall, Hayashata, around you to be healed, to be delivered, to be set free. Rakatanarabasha. We have not because we ask not. When was the last time you asked God for something big? It's not too much for God. Ask him for the plot of land. Ask him for the business. Ask him for a husband, a wife. Stretch out. Now lift those hands up before your God. Lift them up. Tell God, I believe you, God. Say it again. He's not a respecter of persons. You know what he respects? Your faith. Say, God respects my faith. How do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing what God is saying. God is saying to this church, to this ministry, I have so much more. Say, so much more. say so much more. In mind. You're on God's mind. Come on, Pastor Tommy.
As Brenda was saying, that, you know, that God is a respecter of faith. We have to understand how important faith is to God and how important faith is essential to our victory in life. The Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes. And she said that God is looking, or he's a respecter of faith. Jesus said, when I come back,
will I
find faith in the earth?
Yeah.
So faith is what God is looking for. And so faith is also what the enemy is looking for. The Bible says that the devil came to steal, kill, and to destroy. But we get it mixed up because the devil doesn't want your life. He don't want your house, your car. He came to steal, kill, and to destroy your faith. Why? Because without faith, it's impossible for you to please God. So it renders you utterly defenseless. God is looking for faith in us. He said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So what does that mean? When you ask in faith and don't doubt, you can have anything you ask for in my Father's name. So you have to see how faith weaves through that so that you can understand why you are here on this earth. You are God's faith agent in this earth. You make God legal in this earth. God is illegal in this earth realm. He said, the heavens are mine, but the earth I have given to the sons of men. And he can't go against his principle. The only way that God can come into this earth is through the Spirit of God coming into you. And then you allowing the Spirit of God to control you and not your flesh. That's why there was a fight when Paul said, when I want to do good, evil is right there causing me to do what I don't want to do. But who will rescue him? Thanks God. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ our Lord. But the key that I'm trying to get you to understand is how God wants you to exercise your faith, not just for things. Not just for things, but for purpose. He wants you to exercise your faith for purpose. His purpose. He says, many are the plans of a man, but my purposes will prevail. But he wants you to exercise your faith for purposes. He said, I know everything you need. I've already given you this scripture. Everything that pertains to life and living godly, I've already given it to you. So where is it? It's in the spirit realm, but you have to access it. Everything starts in the spirit realm and then manifests in the flesh.
Yes.
You have to know how to access it. But if you don't know that you are a spirit being in this earth vessel, then you think you are just a human being. You look in the mirror and you say, that's all that I am. But you're so much more than that. His spirit has been deposited in you. God is spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And what you have to understand that we, in that 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, it says, we are fellow workers with God.
Yes.
You got to have to get the understanding that I am a fellow worker with God to establish his kingdom on this earth. And then it says that I'm not just a fellow worker, but I am God's field. Now, all around this church driving down here, you see fields of crops that have been planted. And they plant it because they expect a harvest.
Yes.
God says, you are my field. I've planted something in you, my spirit, and I expect a harvest. I expect for the seed that is sown in you to produce the fruit. That's why he said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, and dominate this earth. But if you don't understand what's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit is not just goosebumps or something that makes you dance. It's the power that God has given you to dominate in this earth realm.
Yes.
And then the last thing it says that we are God's building. We house God. We are his building. This building is not the church. You are the church. And I know you've heard that so many times before, but do you really believe that you are his church? He says, I'm coming back for a bride, my church. He's not coming back for this building. He's not coming back for the Benoni building. He's not coming back for the Hillcrest building. He's coming back for you, his church. And he wants you to establish his church, his kingdom, until the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. That's how long we have to continue to do what he's told us to do.
Now we must understand, we're not trying to wear you out with this, but we have to understand that God has so much in mind for us. Mm-hmm. He said, I am mindful of you. And I want to bless you and your children. I don't want to just bless you. I want to bless your children. And all I want to say, even as we said earlier in the other service, God has a timing. And I want you to know that God is not putting you off. We have put God off too long. We say somewhere down the line, maybe one day. Everybody say now five times. Now. Now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now is my time. God wants all of us to be sons and daughters of Issachar. Sons and daughters of Issachar knew what time it was. And they knew what to do with the timing. Say, I am a, and if you're a son or daughter, say, I am a
daughter
of Issachar. And now it's my time to possess what it is that God has from me and my family.
Yeah, so much.
God has not run out.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, God.
God
has not run out.
Has not run out.
When you think that God has run out, that means that's a spirit of lack that's on you. Go ahead, Pastor.
Okay, Brenda said that God is mindful of you, and that just brought me back to the scripture in Psalms, and I just want to read it to you, and I'm going to put my name in this scripture, and I want you to put your name in the scripture when you go home and meditate on Psalms 115. It says this. It says, O Tommy. It says, O Israel. But I'm putting my name. O Tommy, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield. O house of Todd, trust in the Lord. He is your help and your shield.
Thank you, Lord.
You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. Mm. He is your help and your shield. The Lord has been mindful of you.
Yes.
He will bless us. He will bless the house of Todd. He will bless the house of Todd. He will bless both the small and the great. May the Lord give you increase more and more.
Increase.
You and your children.
Yes.
May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth.
Yes.
God wants to bless not only this church or this body of believers. He wants to bless the next generation that comes beyond you. Your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. But they have to see the blessings of the Lord on you so that they can believe.
Yes.
Faith cometh not only by hearing, but it comes by seeing too.
Amen.
Blessed are those who believe and have not seen, but also blessed are those that do see and then follow after what God says that they're to do. So faith is a key that you cannot live without. The enemy wants your faith. He wants your faith. He doesn't want your car, the house, like I said before. He's after your faith. That's why you have to protect your faith. You have to protect that what comes into your eyes, what comes into your ears, and then you have to protect what goes out of your mouth, because life and death is in the power of your tongue. Your tongue can destroy your faith.
Yeah.
When you say, I don't believe that God wants to do that, your faith has just been attacked by yourself. It's like, I call it spiritual suicide, where you speak against what God has already said about you. So continue to walk in faith, but be a believer that walks in the power and authority of the faith that God has given you.
I want everybody to say, God loves
me.
Put your hand on yourself. Say, God
loves
me. One more time. Let's say it together. God loves me. Now, some of you let that come out of your mouth, but in your head, you're having a problem with that. When asked, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your strength. Everybody say all.
Oh.
Then it says, love your, put your hand on your neighbor. Just touch him a little bit. Your neighbor. Come on. Are you touching? Your neighbor. As much as you love. Now put your hand back on yourself and say yourself.
Me.
Pastor, for years, I focused in on my neighbor, loving my neighbor. But God said to me, you really can't love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. And I was about to go on with something, and God said, say this to them, that I love them. Somebody say, God loves me. Say, I love me.
I love me.
Open your mouth up. There are some of you sitting there and you're not saying it. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
I love me.
I love
me. One more time. God loves me.
God loves me.
I love me.
I love me.
In the name of Jesus. See, because he loves you, he did his best. He gave his best. In that he gave Jesus to die that we might live. But God said, I came to give you life, but not a little life. I came to give you abundance. Somebody shout abundance. I came to give you an abundance of life. And God wants to show us without a doubt that he wants to do some things great in our lives. And he doesn't want it to take forever for us to do. Nehemiah was one, and I'm sure you've been taught here about Nehemiah. He saw that things in his community was broken down. Come on here. They told him shame was upon that community. And there is something that God has given you to do that you have a dream about. We're hooking up with God. You can accomplish it. Are y'all in the house? Nehemiah needed materials. He needed money. He needed all kinds of things. But he boldly, somebody say boldly. God said, you can boldly come before my throne and find help in the time of need. Glory to God. Some of you haven't been bold in prayer. See, many times y'all act like God is weak or something. But you got a big, big God. You serve a big, big God. And the one thing I want to let this church know, it's only the beginning of what God did concerning releasing that church to this man of God, and now it's paid off. Y'all need to give God some praise in this house. Y'all ain't giving God glory like that's for real. Everybody put your hands like this. I prophesied to the man of God in the other service. What God has done at the end of 2023 on into the beginning of 2024, it has only just begun.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say, only. Just begun. When God opens up the blessing, everybody do this. And for some of you, you're going, yeah. But just seeing a sign. Come on here. Say the door is open.
The door is open.
Say the blessings are open.
To me.
My household. This church. But it's not over. It's only just begun. And I'm prophesying. I'm speaking the word that where you are right now, use your faith as a car to know that you've only just begun. I have so much more for you. I have houses, I have land, I have businesses for you. You're not to look at where you are and believe based on what you see in the natural, but you're to open up your eyes and see by the eye of the Spirit. Are y'all in this house? When Pastor Michael had that big building, God told him to keep his foot. We're almost done. Push your foot down again. Push your foot down. He said, keep your foot. Keep on accelerating. Keep on accelerating. And it wasn't long after that that God literally had people to come to him and say, we got 35 businesses in front of your arena. Do you want to buy it? Are y'all playing in the house? Once the door is open, come on, open that door again. Come on. People are going to start coming to you and ask you, do you want this? Will you partner with me for this? Come on, see, you think you got to work it all out by yourself. But no, the door is open. This is a time of the Issachar anointing. This is a time for things to open like never before and for you to be blessed so that you can be a blessing. Glory to God, to this community, to this church, to your children, to your children's children. Can you say amen? Come on and give God some praise right there. Stand on your feet.
I want to read this last scripture, baby.
Go ahead, Pastor Tommy.
This last scripture that I want to read with you. All this week, we've been, as a team, going to different areas in this region. We were in Elof, and we were down there building tiny houses for widows and for go-go's. And, you know, as we walked through that area, we saw the need. And many of you have come from those situations. You know people that live in those areas. But the thing that you have to believe and understand is that God has caused you to make a difference in the area. You don't just say, well, I'm from there, but I don't go back there. No. You go and you rescue those or help those that are still in those situations who may not have the faith that you have to come out of those situations. But this one scripture I want to read, and it says this. Those from among you shall build their old waste places.
My God.
You shall rise and raise up the foundations of many generations. There are little kids running around in Elof and in those shanty communities and stuff. They don't have hope, but you shall raise up the generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets for which they dwell in.
Yes.
God wants you to be a repairer of the breach and to restore the streets where the people there dwell in. Make it better than you can change that situation. That place used to be a waste dump, but someone saw a vision and came and started to do something. So we can help build the kingdom of God by going back and showing them that our God is a good God. He's a mighty God. Nothing is impossible with our God. But it's up to us to rebuild and to establish his kingdom on this earth.
Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord, say it with me. Say, unless the Lord builds the house, our labor is in vain. Says, unless the watchman watches. Come on, they're up early. They're up late. Watch it. Intercess us. I haven't lost my thought. We must go to another level in this house, because there is so much land to be acquired. Businesses. Folk are going to start coming to your pastor and asking him, do you want this? We got this prime property. Would you like to buy this? That's what happened to us. Michael kept his foot to the pedal. We got those 35 buildings. Then we were going to look for office space. When we went to look for office space, there was an oil company that had built this place. $62 million. That we got it for $32 million, but first God asked Michael, and he's asking you the same question. Will you partner with me? Look at a neighbor and say, will you partner with God?
Will you partner with God?
Look at your next neighbor and ask the same question.
Will you partner with God?
Man, that's the best partner to have. Will you partner with God? And of course, Michael said, yes. Do you have the picture or no? Okay. And as a result of partnering, we now have what we call twin towers. Y'all, we're talking about a 30-something year old black man in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where one of the properties that we got, another property that we obtained also. I'm telling the man of God, once the door is open, it will not close. Somebody say, doors open. They will not close. Another property that we got, on the deed, it said, do not sell to anyone of African descent. God said, I got stuff waiting on you that somebody didn't want you to have. But you got to understand, it doesn't matter what people don't want you to have. If it's for you, it's for you. Give God some glory in this. Come on. Houses. Lands. Properties. And business. That's what I got for you. Houses. Property. Businesses. And land. That's what God has for you. Property. Hey. Business. Houses. Oh yes. And lands. Somebody clap your hands right there. Now open your mouth up and scream. That's what God got. That's what God got for you. Property. Business. Houses. Oh my God. And land. And property. Houses. Business. And land. This is our headquarters. That's not the church. Sometimes you show them the church, man of God. That's the, y'all see that? 30 something years old. But God doesn't respect how old you are.
Faith.
He respects your faith. He respects your partnership. God said to this church today, will you partner with me? He's saying to you individually, partner. He was on the sixth floor. And as he was coming down, he said, will you partner with me? Pastor Michael said, yeah. And now we own it. Somebody give God some praise. Property. Houses. Businesses. And land.
Hallelujah.
Listen, I want you to get that scripture in Amos, please. But okay. Go ahead and say.
The thing I wanted to say is, when she said property and land, it's one thing to just have buildings. But the building has to be on land. So it's not just for you to lease property and own a building. You have to own the land. Because as a land owner, people pay you. That building right there sits on 32 acres of land. I don't know how much this land mass is, but there are thousands of acres of land around this. And as you drive, you can say, Father, give me land.
Yeah.
It's a vision that's before you every day. Father, give me land. And he will do it.
This is the church. Transformation Church. That was the first place he gave. Everybody do this. Come on, that's the way it started off. And around it, there are 35 businesses in front of it. That was the second thing. Come on, do it a little wider. And then after that, then we'll go to the office building. And it opened up even more. The amount of land and ownership of buildings. You think God is a respecter of persons? The same way and the same God. Somebody said the same God.
Same God.
Say it again, the same God.
Same God.
That same God that loves you, that loves Pastor Michael, that loves me. The same one has in mind for this ministry. And I prophesied before the end of this year, there will be more land, there will be more property, there will be more, 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 more. Somebody shout more. And many of you will be partakers. As you build your faith in God, he said, now is the time. Some of y'all gonna try to put him off, but I'm telling you, don't put
God off.
In the next 5 years. No, 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 no. Somebody say now. Somebody say now. Now I want you to listen to the reading of this scripture that lets you know you're in the now time. Touch hands with somebody by you. This is from Amos. Everybody say Amos.
Amos.
The 9th chapter. And this is the way it reads. Yes, indeed. It won't be long now. That's why I say you can't put it off. Say it won't be long now.
It won't be long now.
Look at both of your neighbors and say it won't be long now.
It won't be long now.
God, we're not going to put you off.
We're not going to limit you, God.
We're not going to limit you, God. This is God's decree. Y'all, this is in the Amplified Bible. This is what God is saying. Things are going to happen so fast. Your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. One thing fast on the heels of another. Somebody say acceleration. That's why I say with this ministry, yeah, God did that a few months ago. Whoa, 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 whoa. But it won't be long now. Something else getting ready to happen. My God, today. One thing fast on the heels of another. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, somebody shout, blessings.
Blessings.
Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and hills. I'll make everything right.
Yes, God.
Again. For my people.
Yes.
Somebody say for me.
For me.
It says they'll rebuild their ruined cities. They'll plant vineyards and drink good wine. They'll work the gardens and eat fresh vegetables. And I'll plant them in their own land. They'll never again be uprooted.
Thank you, Lord.
From the land I've given them. God, your God, says so. Look at your neighbor and say, this is what God said to you today.
This is what God said.
Look at your other neighbor and say the same thing.
This is what God says.
Now look back at him and say, do you believe?
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Do you believe?
Look back at him and say, you gotta believe.
You gotta believe.
You got to believe. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Unless you build the house, our labor is in vain. And I know that you are building this house. Thank you for a faithful man and woman of God. You have found them faithful. Thank you for the vision on this house. Thank you for the Aarons and the Hers, the intercessors that are called those things that are not as though they were. They will take the word of the Lord and warfare with it. The word that's been spoken over the pastors. The words that's been spoken over ourselves. We will say, God, you say it. And I believe. And I receive. I thank you for a shift. Because there are Issacharians, people that understand the times and know what to do. They're not going to do a lot of talking, but they are going to run with the vision that you've placed on the inside of the man and woman of God and on the inside of them. And we will forever give you the praise, the honor and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. I wish somebody would give God praise right there.
you, Lord.
If only we can believe. I said this earlier in Benoni. I said, look, the God that we serve is spirit. And when we say we are born again, it means we are born of the Spirit of God. We are spirit beings just like our God, just like our Father. And the Bible says the natural man cannot receive anything that is from God. Why? Because it is spiritually discerned. That's what the Bible says. So in these prophetic moments, we have got to be spiritual. We have got to walk by faith and not by sight. And walking by faith is walking and living in the Spirit, having the ear of the Spirit of God, being able to perceive things by the Spirit. They don't have to make sense. All that we have got to do is just to receive and believe that, God, it does not make sense. I don't know when are you going to do it. I don't know how are you going to do it. But I have heard what you have said. And all that I can do for now is to believe. And if I believe, I receive. I know that I have it. I know that it is done. That building over there, I know that you are able to do it for us. If the men and women of God are saying there's more land to come, there are more buildings to come, we believe. We believe. We don't ask how. We believe. We don't ask when. We believe. That's all that we can do. And I want you to believe it for yourself, no matter what it is that you are praying for and you are asking God for. Believe that you receive it. As you walk out of this place, don't leave your stuff behind, because we will pick it up by faith. Walk out of here with your house. Walk out of here with your job. Walk out of here with your business. Walk out of here with your healing. Walk out of here with your breakthrough. Don't leave it behind, because we will pick it up. Don't be looking around and saying, I wonder what are they all about? I wonder why are they acting so funny? Act funny together with us. Just do it with us. I read a scripture in Benoni, Hosea chapter number 9, verse 7. It says, a prophet is a fool. A spiritual man is mad. We don't make sense. We behave in a very, walking by faith is weird. You speak things, you declare things, not knowing how are they going to take place. Say, I believe. Say, I receive. Just reach out one more time and say, I believe. I receive. One more time, I believe. I receive. There is more for me. In God. Father, we thank you. We honor you. We know that you are God and you are able to do exceedingly abundantly we can ever ask or think. What is impossible with men, it is possible with you, Lord. Nothing is too difficult for you, our God. You are able, O God. And we receive every word that you have released in this place. We believe it and we receive it. We believe it and we receive it. We shall be builders. We shall be rebuilders of walls, of cities, O God, of communities, O Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, by your grace, we shall do it. In the name of Jesus, we know that you have called us, O Father, to even bring impact in our communities, O God. And therefore, we shall step out in faith, knowing, O God, that, O Father, where you lead, you provide. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are so grateful, O Father, for Pastor Brenda, Pastor Tommy, O God, and we pray that you may refresh them. that you may pour your new anointing upon them. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, continue to use them. In the name of Jesus, not just in this city, oh God, but even in the nations of the world. We are so grateful, oh Father. We are thankful. In Jesus' name, we pray. And the people said, amen and amen. Thank you once again for listening to the message today. We trust that you were blessed by it. Please do subscribe to our podcast to receive new messages every week. Thank you very much, and keep on building.